Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turning your Bibles, please, to Psalm 55. In verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Young people, remember this. Whenever you have some kind of a burden, whenever you have anything going on in your life, especially if it's something that causes you concern, perhaps there's a decision to be made, perhaps it's something you don't know your way with, take it to God. Always take it to God. Because He will sustain you. He will take care of you. He will provide for you. He will sustain you. And He will never allow the righteous. Now, in Romans 3:22, the people that are the righteous are people who live in faith. So you could say, He will never allow those who live in faith to be moved. Moved is the word mote, and it means to waver, to slip, or to fall. If you live in faith and you come to God, God will not allow you to make mistakes. God will not allow you to fail. Now, the only person who actually fails is the one who doesn't come to God, or after he's come to God, goes against the ways of God. So I can't make a mistake. I can't fail, even in things that are too great for me. Sometimes you get into these situations where you feel like you're facing stuff that's just too much for you. You take that to God. You tell Him all about it. Complain if you need to. Cry if you need to. Or have fun if you need to. Whatever it is that's in your heart regarding that, take it to God. I'm not saying take it to other people. Other people have no ability to do anything about it. Take it to God. I'm not saying you cannot get counsel from the right person. You certainly can. You go to your pastor if you need to, and you can get counsel. That's perfectly in order. But I'm saying, if I go and I start to complain to somebody about my circumstances, that person has absolutely no ability to do anything about my circumstances. All I've done was shared some negativity. But God, on the other hand, He not only has the ability, but He has the desire to do something about everything that's in my life. So you take your burden to God, tell Him all about it, let Him know how you think, let Him know how you feel about it. Don't hide anything from God. Sometimes people get religious with God. It always makes me laugh when I hear people pray and say, thee and thou, mayest and doest, and all this old English King James Version speech. As though God didn't speak in plain English or whatever other language they happen to speak. He speaks all of them. You don't have to get formal. You don't have to get religious. You don't have to feel like you're somehow before God. You're before God all the time. He's everywhere present. There's not a moment. You can be in the bathroom, you're before God. You're never not before Him. So don't worry about convincing yourself somehow or feeling like you're before Him or like you're holy or praying or who knows what weird religious concept people have in their heads when they do that kind of stuff. Just tell Him plainly. God wants you to be a plain, ordinary person with Him. God doesn't want you to pretend to be anything with Him. He wants you to be straight up, tell Him all about it. Don't try to hide it from Him. He knows anyway. It's kind of silly trying to hide things from God. And just be straight up with Him and tell Him about it. And if you're happy about it, tell Him about it. If you're sad about it, tell Him about it. If you're angry about it, tell Him about it. If you're hurt by it, tell Him about it. Tell Him. Cast your burden unto Him. Take it to Him. And He will not allow you, if you will live in faith, in other words, if you receive the Word of God and apply it, He will not allow you to fail. He will not allow you to fall. In Matthew 11:28, sometimes people get into situations where just the details of life, or maybe health, or maybe relationships, or maybe jobs, or school, or whatever it is, it becomes overwhelming. That happens to everybody. Don't ever think that you're going through anything unusual. You're not. Whatever you're going through, it's common. It happens to everybody. I didn't say that makes it easier. I just said it happens to everybody. So you're not going to surprise God with any of your details. They happen to everybody. But if you are overwhelmed, if you're tired, if you're sick of it, if you're ever in a situation where it's just too much, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor, you're striving at it, you're working at it, and heavy laden, you've got this heavy burden, and I will give you rest." There is a resting place for God's people. Christ promises to be that resting place. When I come to Him, not only will He not allow me to fall, He'll give me rest in my situation. Because when I come to Him, essentially I say, "God, I can't do it. I'm not going to try." There are some people who would say, "Well, that's irresponsible." No, it's not. Because I didn't just ignore the situation. I asked for help, somebody who's able to deal with the situation much better than I can. Now, sometimes this is a difficult thing for people. One of the reasons why it can be difficult for people is because they don't see God as altogether real. They don't see God as altogether practical. They don't see God beyond theology. God is not about theology. God is a real person. He's an individual who loves you, who cares about you. He's extraordinarily powerful, and He has all the resources that exist in the universe at His disposal. And then some. He says, "Come unto me, I can take care of it. And I'll give you rest." That means you don't have to worry about it anymore. You don't have to strive. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to be anxious. You don't have to try to figure out. Just come unto me and I'll give you rest. And then He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." It's amazing how many people get this portion incorrect. When they read the word yoke, they think a yoke like you put on an ox. For those people who are living in a different country and you don't know what a yoke is, it's that piece of wood that you use to join two oxen together so they pull at the same time as they're plowing a field. And all kinds of Bible commentators will talk about this wood on the shoulders and how we yoke up with God. If you yoke up with God, you're dead. You cannot keep up with Him. I'm sorry, you're dead. You know what happens if you get a weak and a strong animal yoked together? The weak animal breaks its legs. Okay, that doesn't work. It's not actually talking about that kind of a yoke. In Jesus' day, one of the meanings of that word yoke was a scarf. Not a piece of wood, but a cloth scarf. And you wore this scarf to indicate that you were a student of a teacher. So what He's saying is, be my student. That's why He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Wear a scarf, and this is figurative. He's not saying you have to wear a scarf, but figuratively, be my student and learn from me. Learn what I have to say. Learn what I think. Learn my heart toward you. Learn the love of God toward you. Learn the faithfulness of God. Learn the ability of God. Learn the character of God. Learn from me. Receive wisdom from God for your various situations. Learn from God. He has wisdom for every situation and He desires to give you that wisdom. It's not like He'll hold it back and hold it back and, oh, I don't know if I'm going to tell you everything I know. No, He wants to pour it on for you. So you come, you ask, you tell Him about it, you receive rest. He's not going to let you fail, and then He's going to teach you. How do you deal with this, God? And God says, I'll show you. And He actually shows you how to deal with it. What do I do with this situation, God? I'll tell you. And then He tells you what to do. He gives you the wisdom, gives you the understanding, gives you everything you need for every circumstance there is. I think everybody who's ever counseled people, at least everybody who's done it correctly, does not depend on themselves for the counseling. I don't need to counsel somebody's sin nature. God doesn't counsel sin natures. God crucifies sin natures. Sometimes people want God to counsel their sin nature and God won't do it. But any good counselor, if I'm going to come to him with an issue, he's not going to rely on his education, although the education can help. I'm not saying it's not useful. It is. But he's not going to rely on his education, and he's not going to rely on his understanding, and he's not going to rely on what he can figure out about you. He's going to rely on the Holy Spirit to tell him. If somebody comes to me for counseling, the first thing that I think is, I have no idea. I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know what's in your history. I don't know what's in your mind. I don't know what's in the other people's minds and hearts and histories that may be associated with this. I don't know the fullness of the situation. I don't know anything regarding this. How can I? But I ask God. And time and time and time again, within a few moments, I know exactly what's going on. Not because the person said, but because the Holy Spirit gave wisdom. You ask God, He'll give you wisdom. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to hear God say, okay, this is the scoop. Such and such did this, and that person over there was like that. And at this time, this is what happened, and they reacted to this. It doesn't work like that. All of a sudden, you just know what the need is, and the answer for it. That's it. It's actually pretty simple. If you don't hear from God for your circumstance, then just acknowledge Him in your circumstance. Sometimes God won't speak. But that does not mean that He won't communicate. He'll just do it without speaking. Sometimes God answers just by ordering our steps, making sure we end up in the right place at the right time. Sometimes God causes us to make decisions and we don't even know that He's causing us to make them. This is why Proverbs 5:3-5 says to acknowledge Him in all our ways, but not to lean on our own understanding. And if we acknowledge Him, He'll direct our path. It didn't say there He'll give you the answers. It said He'll direct your path. God is gentle. That's what Jesus said about Him. I'm gentle and I'm lowly in heart. Lowly in heart means I'm not puffed up. I'm gentle and I'm lowly in heart, and I'll give you rest for your souls. For my yoke, my lessons are easy, and my burden, what I ask you for, is light. So if I have a burden, I come to Him. In Matthew 7:11, if we know how to give good things to our kids, how much more is God going to know how to give good things to us? We're only human and we're flawed. God has all knowledge, all ability, all power. And He desires to give to us. Never get in that situation where you start wanting something more than God. This happens a lot to people, young people in particular, not so much when they're quite young, but they start hitting their 20s and all of a sudden things kick in and they start wanting something more than God. They want to be married more than they want God in their life. They want kids more than they want God. They want a certain job or a certain position or what have you more than they want God. They'll be willing to trade a call for the sake of something that doesn't last. Well, Hebrews 13:5 says, let your lifestyle be without desiring things more than you desire God. And be content with the things you have. Because He says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. God promises to supply all our needs in Philippians 4:19. If you don't have it, you don't need it. If you need it, you'll have it. That's a promise from God. I really wanted that BMW, God. And all I got is a Corolla. A Corolla does the trick. Maybe the BMW would make you puffed up. Maybe the BMW, I mean, it's a super high maintenance car. Maybe you'd never be able to afford the BMW just to keep using it. God gives you exactly what you need, but He's not stingy. Sometimes people think that God will give me what I need, but just barely. Ephesians 3:20 says, God goes above and beyond anything you can ask or think. God's not stingy. God is smart. He knows how to deal with you and interact with you and gift you exactly in the fashion that will benefit you, not just in the immediate need, I need a car, but also in a complete need, in an eternal need. He knows how to meet your needs in such a way that 100 other needs are met at the same time. Needs you didn't even know you had. And He takes care of them with one move. Maybe I needed something in my heart that would promote growing close to Him. Well, a BMW might make me puffed up as people are going, ooh and ah. But a Corolla will do the trick, and Corollas are not a bad car at all. They'll do the trick. And maybe something about not getting that ooh and ah all the time draws me closer to Him. Makes me actually prosperous in heaven. Meets a need that I didn't even know I had. God works on a whole lot of levels all at once. It's never just on one level. In Matthew 6:25, He says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. I'm not saying don't be responsible, and I'm not saying don't do things that you need to do. I'm saying don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. People get to this situation sometimes. They look at a circumstance the way that it appears and they try to make a prediction about the future. And they get afraid. Because often our predictions about the future, if the circumstances don't look as favorable as we want them to, our predictions can be scary. Did you know that fear is only of the future, never of the present? Nobody is afraid of what's going on now. Fear is a prediction. That's all it is. Fear is a prediction. You're saying, well, I can predict pretty well. The guy has a gun pointed at me, and I can predict pretty well what the next move is going to be. I know of people who've had people shoot at them It's a terrible thing to know. But I know of people who've had people shoot at them and the gun never went off. I've heard of soldiers who heard the bullets coming at them, because you can hear a bullet as it's coming at you. They heard the bullets coming at them and then they heard the bullet go around them. It never touched them. Nothing can happen to you that God doesn't allow. Nothing will happen to you that God doesn't allow. If God says no, the answer is no. And I don't care what physics or biology or chemistry or anything else says. If God says no, the answer is no. If God says that bullet's not going to hit him, that bullet's not going to hit him. There's a true story about George Washington. He was riding on his horse into battle and British snipers were trying to shoot him. Every single one of them missed. And one of them finally said, these were sharpshooters. These guys were not guys who miss. One of them finally said, God is protecting George Washington. And he was. Several years ago when Israel had missiles being lobbed at them by their enemies, the missiles kept missing. And a reporter asked one of the enemy generals, he said, what's wrong with your missiles? He said, nothing's wrong with our missiles. Their God is protecting them. Nothing is wrong with our missiles. Well, you know, it's not just missiles and guns and bombs. It's every situation in your life. If God says no, it's no. If God says yes, it's yes. If God wants to give you something, nothing's going to stop it. If God wants to keep it from happening, nothing's going to make it happen. God's will is greater than our will. Sometimes we say to ourselves, well, what about my will? What about it? God's will is greater than my will. I can will all I like, but I don't have the ability. God wills and He has the ability. God's desire is to bless you, to take care of you, to provide for you, to give you your needs, to cause you to grow, to draw you to Himself, to love you up. God's desire is always in your favor because He loves you. There's never a situation where you have to worry about anything. God is looking out for you in the details. Not just generally, but in the details. You can ask God for help with the smallest of details, and He's interested in helping. You can ask God for the smallest of things, or the biggest. And He's interested. He wants to give. There's nothing that He wants to withhold from you that'll be good for you. But if it would harm you, the answer is no. It's not going to happen. He's not going to allow anything to cause you harm if you come to Him. The Word of God says in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be answered. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door is open. Now there are people who will say, well, isn't that a little bit presumptuous? Well, maybe Jesus was presumptuous. I don't know. I think He knew what was going on. That's what He said. He didn't put any qualifiers on it. Ask, you'll receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened. That's how God operates towards you. God says you have not because you ask not. And what you ask amiss if you don't get it. In other words, sometimes I'll ask Him for things, but I don't know what I'm asking for. Sometimes people will say, God, cause me to win the lottery. And God says, you have no idea what you're asking for. Did you know that prosperity is the most difficult test there is? It is. Prosperity is an incredibly difficult test. Very few people pass that one. Do you know why? Because when they stop seeing their need, they stop following God. And that's a worse mistake that anybody could ever make. So God says, you know, I get what you're asking me, but you don't know what you're asking me. You don't know what the results would be. If God says no, it's because you don't know what the results would be. You don't know what that would do to your life. My wife saw an interview a few years ago with some lottery winners. And several of them said it destroyed their life. They had no idea. They thought it would be the greatest thing. It destroyed their life. Don't be upset if you get a Corolla instead of a BMW. Know that God's going to take care of you. And if you ask Him for something, He'll give you exactly what you need. And if you're looking for Him, you will absolutely find Him. And if you need to go through a door that's closed, God will open it. If it's the right door. If it's the wrong door, you don't want to go through anyway. Sometimes you get some 20-somethings and they want to get married in the absolute worst way. And you have to kind of pull the reins back a little bit on them because they don't know what they're talking about. They always have these fantasies of what it'll be like. And the problem with the fantasy is it's not real. And then reality hits them. Pastor Stevens used to tell this story about this young woman. For 3 years he counseled her because she was not married. Then she finally got married. For 3 years he counseled her because she was married. She didn't know what she was asking for. I'm not against marriage. Marriage is wonderful. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is, when we come to God, He will give us that which is the best for us. When we try to figure out what is best for us apart from Him, we don't know what we're asking for. But when we come to God, He won't let us down. I may not get the result today, but I'll get the result when the time is right. Remember, to every answer, there's a time, a place, and people. And so, when it's right is when it'll come. You have a concern, you tell Him about it. Don't ever try to handle it on your own. You have a concern, you tell Him about it. You're into something you're doing, you tell Him about it. You have to make a decision, you tell Him about it. And the result will be that God will prevent mistakes and He'll make it very easy and restful for you, if you trust Him. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept You as my Savior. I accept Your gift of mercy and what You have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with You now as You come into my heart and live.